my own life. One time I went down to the Optimum Health Institute down in San Diego. And this is where you do this whole cleanse and you do all, you know, high colonics, and you eat like these tiny little trays of like one little small tomato with some wheatgrass, a lot of wheatgrass. You have a lot of wheatgrass, and you exercise every day. And I was down there like for 2 weeks, totally dedicated, did not do anything off program. And I came out of that, I had lost a total of 1.5 pound. I mean, other people who were there just lost all sorts of weight. Why did my body resist that whole regime? What was wrong there? I wouldn't say wrong, but where was my resistance?
Well, I think you're right. Something was wrong in the sense that it isn't always the food. The food is the most important in this entire equation of helping our bodies heal. But there are also hormonal issues, which I investigate with all my patients. I primarily look at the thyroid, I look at cortisol, and I look at testosterone in both men and women, because women also require testosterone, just like men require estrogen. And the point is when your body is resisting burning fat or losing weight, many times it's because your metabolism is slow, very sluggish. And I see that with probably 99% of my patients. So that when I do their blood testing, I look for what's known as their thyroid T3 levels. Standard medicine looks at what's called T4. T4 is inactive hormone. T3 is active. So when someone has a low T4, a doctor gives you what's called Synthroid or T4, which has to convert to T3. Too many people are toxic, so the T4 does not readily convert to T3. T3 is what I give patients, a combination of T4 and T3, and the T3 is active to help their metabolism increase, and now they're burning fat, they're feeling more energy, and they're starting to lose weight. Likewise, testosterone. As I mentioned earlier, men are becoming more and more emasculated. I'm seeing men in their 30s with low testosterone. That's a shame. When I was in medical school, low testosterone was for guys who were like over 65, 70. But now you're seeing men in their 30s and 40s with low testosterone because of all these EDCs, endocrine destructive chemicals, or these toxins we're talking about that suppress hormone production. So in your case, I wouldn't doubt that your thyroid was low. You probably had or have a low testosterone level, which I treat with bioidentical plant-based hormones. And cortisol levels, which are complex because they're supposed to be higher in the morning and lower in the evening. But because we're so stressed with these foods that are processed that we put into our bodies. And by the way, when I say processed foods, so that your audience understands, when you walk into the supermarket, it's everything in the middle aisles. Stay on the outskirts where you have your proteins and your produce and your eggs. Those are your whole foods. And then you look for the organic foods if you can. But everything in a box and a bag is processed. And so what happens then is these chemicals overwork our adrenal glands, which sit above our kidneys, and it produces cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And the receptors are in the midsection. So as more cortisol is being churned out because of all these toxins that we're exposed to, we start accumulating belly fat because the brain senses all this cortisol accumulating. So it tells our thyroid, slow down or stop. I don't want this fat burnt, because that fat tissue is insulating us from these excess cortisol levels, which are dangerous, because cortisol levels that are untamed, untethered, will lead to high blood pressure, cancers, diabetes, obesity, chronic fatigue, allergies, sugar cravings. And so now you have a carboholic who keeps craving the sugars, and this cortisol keeps churning out.
So you're saying that you need to detox in another way. It's not just about losing weight.
No.
Because then you're exposing yourself to more toxins in
Absolutely.
Some way.
Absolutely. You hit it on the head. So you could lose all this weight. You know a lot of these people over the years. They go on these crazy diets, they lose weight, but then a year later, it's all back, if not more, because the body did not necessarily lose toxins. It lost fat tissue. And now the body senses all of these toxins and needs to produce fat to protect us from these toxins. So fat is actually our friend. We just don't want a lot of it. And so we're trying to find body balance.
So one of my interpretations of all of this for me was because I had done so many fad diets through my life, up and down, you know, just I did them all, you know.
Right.
And then I felt like when I went to the Optimum Health Institute, I felt like it was just another time that my body said, uh-oh, here she is depriving me of food again. And it went into a kind of, I call it a starvation mode, that it just said, I'm being starved, so I'm going to collect every single calorie I possibly can because she ain't going to feed me.
Yes.
And is there some kind of truth in when we get on all these diets that that happens?
That is absolute truth, because your body will go into fat storing mode when you subject yourself to any kind of starvation. And I was going to ask you, when you were at this Optimum program, as well intended as it is, did it feel natural to you? I think the answer is no.
Oh, absolutely not. It was just, it was horrible.
I mean, because you're not a goat. You can't just eat grass for 2 weeks and expect to feel fantastic and healthy and happy.
I hated it.
I don't think you were smiling.
No.
My point is, health should be natural. Whether you want to be vegetarian, somebody wants to be paleolithic, somebody wants to be ketogenic, whatever you want to label yourselves. And as you know, I make kind of a big joke about it in the book. My point is, but don't lie to yourself either. I have so many vegetarians that eat pizza all day long. Well, last I heard, pizza's not a vegetable. I think I eat more vegetables than vegetarians that I personally know, which is true. And so my point is programs like this make you feel like you're in a program. With my patients, I want it to feel very free and natural because it's cross-cultural. Whether you're Mexican or Filipino like my wife, whatever kind of background, so that you're enjoying the foods, the flavors, but in a wholesome manner. In other words, you don't always have to eat fried pork every day, like my wife when I first met her. You can eat vegetables in your pork, but why don't you introduce some fish here and there? And this way, it becomes much more balanced. And then people do transform from carboholics into what I call fataholics. Eating good fats, proteins always have fat, and your plant fats like avocados or your nuts. And this way, you realize, and spices that you enjoy, whether it's turmeric or cayenne or onions or whatever, and this way people realize, wow, I didn't realize eating healthy was delicious. Well, that's the magic.
One of the things that I learned in my weight maintenance program in recent years was that I wasn't eating often enough, that I was like maybe eating only a little bit in the morning and then a big meal at night, and that would be it. But they said, no, you need to eat like every 3 hours something, just something that it keeps that hypoglycemic level. So is there something to that? To
especially if you're diabetic, yes, you can get hypoglycemia, very low blood sugars, which is very dangerous because you could faint, you could pass out, it could be fatal. And so, but that could mean having a handful of nuts.
Yes.
You could have a piece of fruit. Oh, and by the way, so many people are afraid of fruit. Do not be afraid of fruit, even if you're diabetic. My point is, sugars in fruit are not the table sugar that we're used to seeing and that people put in their coffee or their drinks. Vastly different. Just like with salt, I tell people, eat sea salt. Eat the Himalayan pink sea salt. It's chock full of minerals. Don't eat sodium chloride, the chemical, the little umbrella girl salt. Don't eat that stuff because that's chemical in your body, whereas sea salt is nutritious and it's vital for our blood pressure and for our balance. So this, and it makes food much more delicious. So I tell people, don't be afraid of salt, sea salt. Do not be afraid of fats. And this is very eye-opening to so many people who thought these things were so bad for us. Well, they are if it's the chemical form. That's why I tell people, stay away from all these vegetable oils, corn oil, peanut oil, canola oils, because these have what are called trans fats, which are cancer-producing and cause heart disease.
Now, you call coconut oil a superfood.
Fantastic food, yes. Coconut oil has so many medicinal qualities about it. In the 1920s, This is when ketogenic or fat-based diets were created, particularly for children that had seizure disorders and epilepsy, because it was research that a lot of these fats broke down to what are called ketones, which feed the brain, and it would calm the extra electrical activity in the brain so epilepsy could be managed. And so when I discovered coconut oil many years ago, I read about its antimicrobial properties. It helps us burn body fat. It increases your energy. It even helps people with Alzheimer's. They can, in early onset Alzheimer's, if you give them coconut oil daily, you can help recover some memory. And it's all because of the ketone food that's feeding the brain. And it helps for skin. If you've ever heard of oil pooling, you can put a tablespoon of coconut oil in your mouth, swish it around for like 5-10 minutes, spit it out, and it can help prevent cavities. It can help prevent other diseases because a lot of bacteria lives in our mouth. Hmm. So it's flushing out a lot of these microbes.
Going back to salt, what about iodine in our bodies, in our diet? Are we getting, should we be getting iodine? Talk about iodine.
Right. So iodine, when white bread came to be about a century ago, it was bleached. The flour is bleached wheat. And a chemical preservative known as bromide was used. So this preservative in breads has been consumed for many decades now across the world. And we're seeing about 70% of the worldwide population low in thyroid, which is astounding. And the reason being is that the bromide preservative in bleached flour products, which is almost anything, bread, crackers, whatever, cookies, it displaces iodine, which is the main nutrient for our thyroid gland. So our body is now being depleted of iodine through eating these processed bread and white flour foods. And this is why the thyroid becomes deficient in terms of its hormone production or thyroid hormone production. So yes, we can have iodine, but I recommend more of an iodine that's not in chemical salts as an additive, but you can find iodine as a pure mineral in food-based vitamins. And that's what I offer to my patients. So organic food-based vitamins that can be researched online will contain iodine and other critical minerals.
I'm here with Dr. Roberto Tostado, and he is the author of WTF, What the Food is Wrong with Our Health. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dr. Roberto Tostado, and he is the author of WTF, What the Food is Wrong with Our Health, a Rebel Physician's Manifesto for Reversing Disease and Increasing Smiles. And Roberto, we were just talking about iodine, and there is another way of getting it that you might mention.
Absolutely. So, and again, because I mentioned earlier how the Japanese diet is very healthy, seaweed is consumed regularly. So seaweed is a fantastic source of iodine. And seaweed, you can buy it as, now it's like in seaweed chips. Or if you have sushi, you're going to get some seaweed. So wonderful, delicious source of iodine for your diet.
What about vitamin D? You talk about vitamin D in your book, you know, specifically. So tell us, what does it do for us and how best do we get it into our bodies?
Yes, D is a huge deal. And almost everybody I come across is deficient in vitamin D until proven otherwise. And it's always proven not that everyone, despite living in California, having sun exposure, typically has vitamin D in the levels of, say, the 20s or below, which is drastically low. True normal vitamin D, physiologic normal of vitamin D, should be above 55 to around 80. Rarely are people in those levels, despite living in a sunny climate. And the reason D is so critical is because it's responsible for transmission in our brain. So the activation of thoughts, it's critical for prevention of dementia. It's critical for prevention of heart disease. It's critical for prevention of osteoporosis, which a lot of women experience. And D essentially is responsible for helping us prevent all autoimmune disease, which is incredible. Diabetes is considered autoimmune. A lot of the gastrointestinal issues, irritable bowel syndrome, are considered due to deficiencies as well in vitamin D. So a lot of my patients are taking vitamin D sources that are not called D3, as in the number 3, which is the most absorbable form of vitamin D. So I always make sure that patients are taking D3 and that they're taking anywhere from 2 to 5,000 international units a day, which is not a very high dose. Most people are taking 1,000 units around 3 times a week, and that's too low. So when I start correcting vitamin D with my patients, it's a D3 source, so that they're getting a minimum of 30,000 international units per week. And this way, it's going to help them with their current disease process and to help them prevent any further inflammatory process down the line. So the best sources are the sun. But the true way to get vitamin D from the sun is almost full body exposure between the hours of noon and 2, because that's when the sun is the strongest. But most people can't afford to be outdoors in those hours exposed.
And we avoid it because of skin cancer.
Right. And it's a lot of these sunscreens that have PABA and phthalates that are actually cancer causing. So I'd rather people get real sun exposure without any kind of protection for half an hour, 30 minutes, whatever the case may be, 45 minutes. And this way, they're actually absorbing real vitamin D. Food sources of vitamin D are all the fatty fish, like salmon or herring, sardines, anchovies. There's one plant-based vitamin D food, which is wild mushrooms. So this is another way people can invite vitamin D into their diet, and eggs. So sun exposure, foods, and if necessary, supplementation with a vitamin D3.
I know that another thing that you say, like that's a basis of much of our maladies, health-related maladies, is inflammation. So what can you say about inflammation and how to reduce that?
Well, inflammation essentially is an umbrella term, as far as I'm concerned, to describe all diseases, because essentially that's the root, inflammation. It's our immune system creating some sort of a response to a foreigner entering the body. So you could call inflammation diabetes, the pancreas, inflammation arthritis, or skeletal structures, inflammation of muscles, myositis. And the point is all inflammation from our immune system will be helped and reversed, once again, through anti-inflammatory foods. So we do that through fruits and vegetables, which are the best foods to decrease inflammation. And these are the types of foods that aren't eaten regularly in this country. You don't see many people eating fruits and vegetables. They're normally going for their meat and perhaps a potato or things like pastas. And very little do you see the nutrition of the food protecting us. So fruits and vegetables and the omega-3 fats, which you see in fish, you see in lamb, you see in seeds, flax seeds, chia seeds, pumpkin seeds, hemp seeds, and nuts as well, are the omega-9 fats, which are also anti-inflammatory, like in walnuts and almonds. So this is the way, day-to-day, that we can help reduce inflammation, but also taking supplements like omega-3 fish oils for my patients that don't eat any seafood. At the very least, with the omega-3 fish oils, that is an anti-inflammatory that they're introducing into their body, and it's helping them protect their brain and their heart.
What about yams? What do you say about yams?
Well, I prefer sweet potatoes.
Oh, over yams, sweet potatoes.
Because the sweet potatoes have a lot of minerals, antioxidants, and vitamins. And even though they may look alike or even taste alike, they're actually distinct. So the yam is just much higher in sugars, whereas the sweet potato actually has a lot of nutritional benefit to it. It's for fiber as well, fantastic for digestion. But because it has these other antioxidant vitamins and minerals, it's going to help us with our overall physiology.
Would a sweet potato then be considered a carbohydrate?
Yes, absolutely.
So it does turn into sugar and eventually.
It does, but it's what's called a complex carbohydrate. So that it's, as it's being digested, you don't have these sugar spikes in your blood. It's a slow digestion over time.
So having a little bit in our diet is not too bad.
Absolutely.
If you really...
And that's why I'm always saying we should all look to be balance-itarians. at the purest foundation, because this way we are enjoying these complex carbohydrates, but even the occasional dessert, so that we don't feel restricted. I always say, you know, like willpower and discipline is so 1970s, and this is not about willpower and discipline. This is about exposing ourselves to various foods. And as I always tell my patients, the more you go to a farmer's market, the less you'll go to your doctor's office, because it's the farmer's market that's giving us the medicine for our body to truly heal. And fish oils actually help, as do green vegetables, which are my favorites, thin the blood so that you don't get, you know, these higher risks of strokes and heart attacks.
I just got an image from somebody on Facebook this morning, and she was saying, if you stop going to a grocery store, they probably won't miss you very much. But if you go to a farmer's market and spend some money there, you are really supporting an entire industry that they will notice. So farmer's markets are really good, and every little town has one.
Yeah, and I'm always encouraging to take their kids, if they have kids, because now their kids could explore all these foods, taste these foods, and help the family become healthier, truly.
I want to just close with your saying something about your work as an iBody clinic. What is that, and where is it located, and how can people tap into it?
So our clinic, the iBody, is based in San Marino, California, adjacent to Pasadena, where the Rose Bowl is. And truly, I focus there on regenerative medicine. And that is that we don't accept deterioration as part of normal aging, so that I help people detox their bodies so that they can lose weight by learning how to eat ample amounts of food, not by restricting foods, by cutting out processed foods little by little and replacing them with whole foods of their choice. We help balance hormones with natural plant-based hormones like testosterone pellets and estrogen for men and women in menopause and andropause. And we also do stem cell therapies using either cord blood or fat tissue from the patient themselves to help reduce inflammation in joints, or it can help them in terms of overall energy as well. So our thrust then at iBody is to help people heal, feel happiness again, and have control of their body and their happiness.
So, when you say regenerative medicine, do you think that this is the way that of the future, that this is going to be more and more prevalent? Is it going to switch over, or how is it going to happen?
It is my hope. And I think we're going to have two parallel universes. We'll always have traditional medicine, but I think we also have an audience building where people want to feel good. They want to feel healthy. They're tired of taking medication. They're tired of going to doctor's appointments, and they want a solution. And the solution really can be found in doctors like myself, who give them this information and give them the opportunity to transform themselves.
Dr. Tostado, I want to thank you so much for being part of New Dimensions today.
Thank you. I've enjoyed myself so much, and I hope your audience can get something from this.
Thank you. I'm sure they will. I have. I've been speaking with Dr. Roberto Tostado, and he is the author of WTF, What the Food is Wrong with Our Health, a Rebel Physician's Manifesto for Reversing Disease and Increasing Smiles. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, theibody.com, and that's spelled V-T-H-E, then the letter I, body.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3677.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. This program was recorded at Strawberry Hill Productions, a full-service podcast production studio in Novato, California. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore...
We're from the Kiwassa Preteen Spring Camp. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Last summer, a field in Iceland was transformed into a graveyard with headstones carved from ice. It memorialized not people, but glaciers that have melted as the climate warms.
The world loses 273 billion tons of glacial ice each year. That's a staggering figure. A lot of zeros, right?
But Dominic Boyer of Rice University says it's hard to grasp what the number represents. So he and fellow anthropology professor Simony Howe are helping to make the loss feel more personal using common rituals around death. Their team created the Glacier Graveyard. They held a funeral for a glacier, and they launched the Global Glacier Casualty List, a website where people can learn about dozens of glaciers that have melted away or will soon be gone. Users can see images of each one and read its story almost like an obituary written by people with a personal connection to the glacier.
For them, glaciers are not these abstract bodies of ice, but they are sources of water. They are sources of folktales and history and origin stories.
The team hopes that sharing these stories will help people connect to the loss and inspire climate action. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
Everyone should be treated equally, and the legal system should work for the people, not against them. Every day, our network of supporters, lawyers, and educators from across the country continue to fight against injustice and oppression, both in and outside of the courtroom and at all levels of government.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.